You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
You are at the bridge right now, between life and death. By God's grace, you are at the bridge right now.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, give us hope that will not disappoint, hope in Christ for life eternal. Stir us up from our sluggish ways to live life to the full with hope in your salvation that fades not away. Raise us up, O God, as you raised the Lord Jesus to life, and give us the joy of newness of life by your grace and power through faith in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. A lot of people are asking the question these days, after death, what? They are not satisfied with the common secular supposition that people die like rats in a trap, and that is all. They might like to feel that after death there's nothing but annihilation, absolutely nothing at all. But in their bones, they know it isn't true. For many people in the world, just to survive physically is a daily struggle. Even at its best, human life on this planet leaves much to be desired. But still people struggle and still they grope after some hope, asking the question, after death, what? After coming to know Jesus Christ, a man named Paul stopped groping and began grasping a sure hope. We know that God who raised the Lord Jesus to life will also raise us up with Jesus and take us together with you into his presence. That hope is not hopeless, or even helpless, as many hopes are. I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. I hope nobody finds out what I did. I hope you don't think that I did it deliberately. I hope the financial system of the world doesn't go to pieces. I hope that this year will be better than last year. I hope those tests the doctor gave me turn out well. People have a host of hopes, many of which are based on wishful thinking. Hope in Christ is based on a solid fact, his resurrection from the dead. We know that God who raised the Lord Jesus to life will also raise us up with Jesus. He will take us together with you into his presence. After death, what? Why, in Christ, life, that's what. Real life, like the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Real life, whose shape and form grow stronger every day with faith in Jesus Christ. Genuine hope for things that are yet unseen produces a whole new attitude to things that are seen. Once he came to know Christ as his Savior and recognized Christ as his Lord, Paul lost that skeptical and discouraged outlook on life which gave him no peace and caused him to do all kinds of things he found hard to explain to himself. Now, he said, for this reason, we never become discouraged. Even though our physical being is gradually decaying, yet our spiritual being is renewed day after day. And this small and temporary trouble we suffer, will bring us a tremendous and eternal glory much greater than the trouble. For we fix our attention not on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. What can be seen lasts only for a time, but what cannot be seen lasts forever. The temporal gets its light from what is eternal. I know people who say there may be another life beyond this grave, but let's cross that bridge when we get there. It may be a good idea not to drink when you drive, but let's cross that bridge when we get there. The wreckage on the highways of the world are mute testimony of the human sorrow caused by that philosophy. Living with uncertainty and skepticism about what comes after death causes people to lose a lot, and very often to lose everything. Waiting to cross the bridge makes life a horror and death a disaster. There are those who put their faith in what we call reincarnation. This is the hope which was given philosophic expression by Plato, the ancient Greek philosopher. It has also appeared in various religious forms right up to the present time. Neither Jesus Christ nor the Bible puts any stock in reincarnation. Faith in Jesus Christ leaves no room for paying $175, as one organization suggests, to help people learn the experience of leaving their bodies. You don't have to live through a series of reincarnations before you can enter the holy heaven of a gracious God. That road is not even on the drawing boards. You can't travel that way. St. Paul said, more than anything else, we want to please Christ, whether in our home here or there. For all of us must appear before Christ to be judged by him. Jesus himself said that he would return as judge to repay everyone, man, woman, or child, for what he has done. The retribution of God is not impressed by the classic human skepticism, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. The gospel plainly says that you cross the bridge to God, repenting of your sins now, trusting God for salvation now, and accepting the forgiveness of God now, which is the solid pavement on the road leading to life, real life, eternal life with Christ. Here lately, a lot has been written about life after death by authors who tell about people who were thought dead, who were pronounced dead by doctors, or who came to the very brink of death in the course of a serious accident or injury. People revived and lived to tell what happened when they were dead. Reader's Digest even made a condensation of one such book. Since that time, the author has written another book with some modifications of the accounts that appeared in the earlier volume. Two things are common to many of these accounts. One has to do with a being of light encountered by those who've had near-death experiences. Not all, but many, tell about this being of light. They say they moved rapidly through a long, dark tunnel. Suddenly they felt themselves outside their physical bodies. At that point, a warm, loving spirit described as being of light appeared to them. Those with a Christian background thought of this being as Christ. People with a non-Christian background were often inclined to think of it as an angel. The other point is that many of these people who came to the very brink of death stated that there is no judgment. Their misdeeds were made known to the being of light, and that being responded with understanding and even humor. It may well be that these people who stared death in the face had real experiences that were real to them. Others might regard these experiences as being hallucinations or products of their imaginations. Whatever the explanation may be, more and more people are asking the question, after death, what? One thing is sure, life continues after death. In some respects, like the identity of people, it resembles life on earth. In other respects, it's part of a world that is yet to be, or yet to be seen. That much we know from the resurrection of Christ himself. In that world, there will be judgment. Said Paul, all of us must appear before Christ to be judged by him. Each one will receive what he deserves, according to everything he has done, good or bad, in his bodily life. There will be a scale of judgment, and justice will be done. If I read the Bible correctly, those who lived without Christ here will live without Christ forever. Heaven is not for all. Even people who profess the name of Christ as the Lord himself said, will be among those who live in the outer darkness where only the gnashing of teeth can be heard. Just saying, Lord, Lord, is not enough. Christ had something to say about that. I never knew you. What Christ is looking for is not professors, but confessors. People who confess their sins and accept his forgiveness with complete confidence that he has atoned for those sins. People who confess with their lips that he is Lord and believe in their hearts that God raised him from the dead. People who understand what he meant when he described that final judgment scene. I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you received me in your homes, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me, in prison and you visited me. There are people like that whom the Son of Man, come again as King of all, and all the angels with him, called the blessed of his Father. They're not the kind of people who went around on earth proclaiming their virtues and parading their piety. They say to him, when, Lord, did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and welcome you in our homes, or naked and clothed you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? The king will reply, I tell you, whenever you did this to one of the least important of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. To the others he will say, away from me, you that are under God's curse, away to the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. People would like to believe there is a heaven, but they shy away from the idea of judgment in hell. They would like to believe in life after death, but they would prefer to spend their time trying to communicate with the dead, endeavoring to pierce the curtain that God has drawn over the future, sometimes by reading their horoscopes in the newspapers. Let me say that it doesn't make any difference to God whether you were born under the sign of Pisces or what. It does make a difference to him whether you believe him and accept Jesus Christ as his Son and your Savior, rather than going along with that old saw, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. You're at the bridge right now. By God's grace, you are at the bridge, which is Jesus Christ himself. He died right here on earth for your sins. And he reigns in heaven as the Son of Man raised from the dead to be the Lord of heaven and earth. Heaven is his gift. It must be received from his hand. He who knows me knows the Father, said Jesus. He who does not know me does not know the Father. After death, what? A long journey on which the things that now are terribly important will become terribly unimportant. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we shall carry nothing out. When you stand bare and defenseless before the judge of the world, what will you have to say for yourself? Except this one thing. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin. That is your promise, O God. I put complete confidence in your promise. It's exactly what St. Paul said. The scripture says, I spoke because I believed. And in the same spirit of faith, we also speak because we believe. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus to life, will also raise us up with Jesus and take us together with you into his presence. All this is for your sake. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, they will offer to the glory of God more prayers of thanksgiving. We fix our attention not on the things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. What can be seen lasts only for a time, but what cannot be seen lasts forever. After death, what? The love of Christ. His love for you, and yours for him. No more sin, no more sickness, no more suffering, no more problems and no more pain, no more farewells and no funerals. No fights and no hard feelings. Nothing but Christ. And always Christ. Things that are seen are temporal, but things that are not seen are eternal. We know that. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus to life, will also raise us up and raise up all his own to life with Jesus, and take all who trust in Jesus into his glorious presence. For all must appear before Christ to be judged by him and to be saved by him. Amen.